Welcome in. This is Inside City Limits. Another game, another St. Louis City shutout. 1-0 victory over the Seattle Sounders. Two wins in a row. Four games now, not conceding a goal to start this season. It doesn't get much better than that. Boys, let's do a... What's our thoughts on the overall performance from the guys this week?
Thank God for Henry Kessler. That's what I'm thinking. He was basically, he made sure Lunt had nothing to do all day.
Yeah. King Henry not getting man of the match is kind of, kind of stolen from him, in my opinion. He played out of his mind.
Yeah, I want to sound like a broken record, but I think Kessler was incredible as usual. I know we'll talk Berkey and the goalkeeping situation and everything, but I was like, I don't know how this is going to go when Lunt was announced, but I think that defense is probably the best it's been in the 3 years, or I guess two and four games we've played. And I mean, he only had one save, one shot on goal.
Yeah. I know we were all a little nervous. That lineup card came out and it was Lunt instead of Berkey. Terrible news to get on our winning streak, but we looked just as comfortable as ever. We didn't have to change our formation at all. It ended up working out pretty well for us.
The defense as a whole, like we were talking about Kessler and how good he's been, that anchor right there in the middle. The defense as a whole, once again, another great game from Jack's guy, Kyle Hebert. Wallum, even a solid game from him on the defensive side. As a unit, the team is just defending so well. And even though Seattle was out some of their key players, I mean, you could tell they would get in deep, they would possess the ball, but just no quality scoring chances from them. That's, you know, three games now out of the four where the other team just doesn't have any quality scoring chances. And whether it's Berkey or Lunt, if you keep them to the perimeter and nothing's getting through your back line, no fast breaks, no nothing, it doesn't matter who's back there. You could put me in goal and probably going to win some games. So it was good to see the boys gelling once again on the defensive front.
Yeah, we finally got to see Ostrom. I was so happy that we finally got to, he finally got some game time, and he seemed to fit right in. You know, he played great in his, 30 minutes or so?
Yeah, he came in the 67th.
And, I mean, he didn't get nearly the minutes, but we also had Nilsson make his return. We've kind of been giving him some shit because I looked it up earlier, he hasn't played since, October of last year or somewhere along there. He's only played, 300 minutes since joining the club, and I mean, when he signed, he was supposed to be like the stalwart of the back line, so it was good to see him back. But we talked about our man / Jack's man, Kyle Hebert. But I don't know, I don't think Nilsson is just automatically getting a starting spot back. I think someone's gonna have to fall off, and I will say Hebert looked good. Kessler's always gonna be a lock, so if anything, it might be a Horn or a Bumgarnel losing out on that.
Before we get into that defense there, did you guys get any word on if Tolan's going to be okay?
No, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. And I remember last year he had hamstring issues. And even in the first game, he was pulling at his hamstring a little bit. And then this one, he had to get subbed out. I hope he's okay, because he's been rock solid. Every single game he plays, he's rock solid on that right side for us. And we did see Watts play a little bit there when they subbed in. Ostrock, Watts moved back to where Totland was, and he did fine there as well, just limited time. But it'd be a huge miss if Totland can't go, but I have not got an update on it, and we've already mentioned it a couple times here. I guess I'll just update everybody on the Berkey injury. Happened Friday in training, and after they already sent out the injury report, so we didn't see him on that Friday injury report, and that's why we were so confused when we saw Lunt in the starting lineup yesterday. But he was out for the match, and he will see a hand specialist in the near future to diagnose the severity. It is a fracture in his hand, probably 4 to 6 weeks is my guess. It's, you know, kind of need your hands as a goaltender, and hopefully he can get better fast, and we believe in Lunt. That's all I'll say.
I don't want to be a hater. I know that that's my role here, but I don't really know if I believe in Lunt. I feel like there was a couple of Leagues Cup or a couple of performances where we saw him last year where he did not look great. So I wouldn't mind to see Olivares if he gets a start here and there, but I don't know. I think if it's like a long term, like a Klaus, where like 3 weeks turns into 3 months, we might be in trouble.
Yeah, but you know, we don't have to believe in Ben Lund. We've got Kyle Hebert and Henry Kessler. That's who I believe. If they can keep it away.
If Lund has that LA Galaxy game, he's not making those 8 saves that Berkey made.
Absolutely not.
We would probably would have lost. Yeah, probably lost 3-2 that game. Honestly, that's why the defense needs to do what it did last game and the first two games of the season.
Yeah, we're seeing the formation here just really stand out in how St. Louis City's playing, and hopefully it does take the pressure off Lund. He even said in the post-match presser that, you know, when the defense is playing as good as they are in front of him, he doesn't have to do much. And Lund, I think, had a good game. He didn't have to do too much, only one shot on goal for Seattle, and just only under a goal. Let's see, under XG was 0.89. So really not much coming his way, but you could really tell where you miss Berkey is the command he has back there. Lund always looks a little nervous, a little slow. He talked about it takes 3 or 4 games to really get involved with your feet as a goaltender, and you could tell that was really missing, that they couldn't work it up quick enough through the back line, or they had to do just a booming kick downfield, which Betcher did get on the end of a couple of those, which was good to see. And Betcher again playing fantastic in the limited work. I could see him getting a start here soon.
That's what I was about to say. That I know what part Jack misses is the Ben bombs don't hit like the Berkey bombs do.
Yeah, he just and just in general, their long ball games was really off yesterday. It just seemed kind of they were all going out of bounds or out of reach, and the Berkey bomb will never be beaten, and I hope to see it soon.
So I'll take a rundown real quick of the lineup just to our predictions were pretty much spot on. Of course, we all said Berkey instead of Lund, but on the back line, we all pretty much said Wallum, Horn, Kessler, Hebert, Totlin across. We think we might see Bumgarner instead of Horn. I kind of would have rather seen that. Horn was definitely, I think, played the worst out of the back five. And it was a little bit of a formation change. Usually you see that 5-3-2 we've been playing, still 5 at the back, but it was a 5-4-1. And in the midfield, you had Leuven and Durkin in the middle, Watts on the right side, Hartel on the left side, and then Toyshirt, a lone striker. And I think this formation, you know, it's similar to what they've been playing, still 5 at the back. I think it really worked out. It was nice seeing Watts on the side there. Leuven got involved, and of course, Leuven, the only goal scorer, with an outstanding free kick from outside the box, like he usually does. And he should have had one in the first game. He should have had one against Colorado. This time he actually put it inside the post, and that's all they needed with how the defense has been playing.
Definitely missed some easier opportunities earlier in the game. The Toyshirt and Hartel both should have been 3-0, honestly. Toyshirt and Hartel kind of missing sitters there. When we go to the single striker, I want to see Klaus up top. I want to see the big guy up top that can get the ball and hold it while everybody else is making runs behind him, which I thought Betcher did a pretty good job, but I think Klaus is more suited for that kind of role.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a fan of this formation. I like the two up top. I don't like dropping one of the strikers for Watts. I just don't like that. I would love to see them go back, even with Lund and Gold, to having Toyshirt and Klaus, or Toyshirt and Becker, or Becker and Klaus. You know, whatever combination you want to go up there. I thought it was really weird that we never even saw Klaus this game. He went for the Becker substitute instead. But yeah, I mean, you guys know me. I'm a Klaus lover. It just didn't seem as effective to me as the two strikers up front, despite the win.
And I think that this is kind of the second game that Toyshirt has kind of not shown up. I mean, he didn't really do much against San Diego. I think that it might be something to where I don't want it to happen, but I really like Betcher, and I thought that he played well when he came in. And I think, I don't know if he would like outright win that starting job, but I think that could be something that we'd kind of see in the future is, you know, maybe it's a Klaus mainstay with Betcher getting a little bit of minutes that we think normally would have went to Toyshirt. I don't know. I've been really impressed with Betcher through a couple games.
It's a good problem to have so many options When you think about last year, we had no options up top. You know, couldn't find anybody that really scores till late in the season. And bringing in Toyshirt, bringing in Betcher, it's a good problem to have, you know, multiple guys that you think can get the job done. I do agree. That San Diego game, I don't count that against Toyshirt because the whole team in general couldn't get anything going. But this was a game I think he could have got involved with. And the whole team is like, if we'll break down some of the stats here. Are you guys worried about the ball possession? Like, I know possession's not, you know, as important as it used to be, or people don't look at that, but this is the fourth game now where we're under 40% on possession. A third game, sorry, the first game we were above 40%. This is a third game now we are under 40% possession, and I don't know. It's obviously it's not bad because we're winning games or we're drawing games and we have a higher expected goal in this game, but it does worry me a little bit how bad we are. As soon as we get the ball, we kind of give it right back away.
Yeah, that doesn't concern me at all.
You know, no possession and we're undefeated, haven't let up a goal, two wins, two draws. I wouldn't be too concerned about it. It seems to be the style that they want to play in.
Yeah, if we're winning and not broke, don't fix it.
And I feel like last year with Carnell, I mean, it was a little different because it was so focused around that high press and, you know, winning the ball back and causing chaos. But I mean, there was a lot of games that they won with 30, 35% possession. So here, I just think there's stretches where they're sitting back and they're just comfortable with the other team knocking it around. And it just looks a little different, but I think it's kind of similar to what we've seen.
Gotcha. So we'll break down some of the stats here. 14 shots on goal for City, 15, I'm sorry, total, this is total shots, 14 shots on goal would be nice. Total shots, 14 for City, 15 for Seattle. Shots on target, 5 for City, only 1 for Seattle, and then Lunt, of course, made that save, and that just shows how our defense is really keeping them outside, keeping, like, possession, yes, but nothing dangerous. Passing-wise, I mean, we're going to lose this. Every time you have that low possession, you know, 259, 80% for St. Louis, 539 passes for Seattle at a 90% success rate. But, I mean, it's all outside. And even if it's in our final third, it's nothing dangerous. No balls in behind this time. Our defense just gets so compact and looks really good. And if St. Louis City figures out how to counter better than they already can, I mean, it's going to be dangerous. We saw one fantastic counterattack with all three, Klaus, Toyshirt, Leuven linking up against LA. If we can start seeing more of that, they are definitely going to be dangerous going forward as well. Fouls committed, 11 for each side. I mean, where do we start with this, the referee? This, I mean, a lot of misses, a lot of makeup calls, just on both sides of the ball, just, or like, both teams just have a lot to argue about, and I just don't think he commanded the game well.
The, I mean, yeah, I would agree that the officiating could have been better, especially at the end of the game. I was glad to see. I feel like we've been on the wrong side of VAR and, you know, calls that were obvious, or at least maybe to us when we're a little biased. So it was nice to see that they went to VAR, they got the right call, no pen towards the end of the game. So it was nice to see, but yeah, it's just another MLS refs are just not great.
No, and two stick out for me. The handball, that did they give a yellow on that handball for Seattle? That they even did. Ended up, it was a yellow.
Yes.
I feel like that could have been more than that. I mean, Hartel would have been in on goal. He says it was a, I don't know, the explanation I could see the defender saying is he fell on the ball and stuff like that. He deliberately stuck out his hand, grabbed the ball underneath him. Hartel would have been on a goal. I think that could have warranted a red card. But, I mean, Leuven scored on that free kick, so not a big deal. And then the end, the debacle with the handball in the box against St. Louis City. There was a penalty against St. Louis City called. The VAR said it was a handball in the box. It confirmed it and overturned the penalty. But the commentators were saying that it wasn't a deliberate handball and stuff like this, and they think the penalty should have stood. What are you guys' thoughts on that? I just think, I mean, the ball hit off his hand right to his feet. That led to a penalty. I don't know. So let me get your guys' thoughts on that.
Definitely was not deliberate handball. But I just don't think you can look past the fact that it hit his hand right to his foot. Like, maybe if he had to go get the ball after it hit his hand or something. But the fact that it went right down right to his foot is enough for me, at least, to agree with the overturn call. I just don't think that, you know, you can look past that.
Yeah, they got that call right. You can't just overlook that handball. no matter his arm was, you know, out from his body, wasn't in an unnatural position per se, but he would have benefited too much from the hand hitting the ball, for my taste, for that to be awarded a penalty. The other yellow card where the Seattle defender deliberately grabbed the ball, I'm not going to argue that because we did score off of it, off the Leuven free kick. I'm more worried about, was it Ferreira who took a kick at Kessler?
Yeah, that was late in the game. So. Seattle was mad because Kessler was shoving the goaltender a little bit, shoulder to shoulder. Anytime there was a corner for St. Louis City, Kessler would be right in the middle of everything, right there on the goal line with three or four other City players. They try to crowd that box, hoping to create a chance. And you saw it in the LA Galaxy game. You know, the goaltender dropped the ball, and it turned into a goal for Toyshirt after all the madness was over. I mean, so I really liked that play, but Seattle was getting frustrated. The ref had to calm him down three or four times, and then you saw it continue later in the game. Ferreira was getting frustrated. You know, no chances for him. Not really a good performance for him anyway. Kessler was locking stuff down. They got into a little bit of a shoving match, and he tried to kick him. He tried to kick Kessler right in the leg, and ref let it go. Nothing, no foul, no nothing. I think the ref must just not have seen it, and they didn't want to go back with VAR just to slow the game down. I really don't know what happened and how that doesn't get brought up. I don't know if you can do anything after the game's over, but it seems like there should have been at least a yellow for what he did there.
He also missed when talking about Kessler pushing the goalie and, you know, getting that little scrum going, that I'm pretty sure Wallum got punched in the ribs.
He did. Wallum got punched right in the ribs, and they even VAR'd. They, if I remember correctly, they VAR'd that. They checked. The ref had his ear. I think they were talking to the ref through the earpiece, saying if there was a possible check for a penalty, and they just kept playing. I guess there wasn't enough evidence, but I mean, we saw evidence on the camera behind the goal. He got a nice punch right in the ribs.
See, up in the press box, I don't even see those things happen. That's what I kind of miss from watching the broadcast, is I didn't even see the kick or the punch until I saw like clips or people talking about it afterwards. I had no idea that even happened.
I think the kick warranted a red card. I don't know, maybe at least a yellow. He didn't make contact, but he was, you know, it was with malicious intent. He was trying to kick Kessler. The punch, I mean, he punched Wallum right in the ribs. It was such a crowd. I don't know if he could.
That was the thing. Really, the Wallum one, I more understand just because it was shoving and pushing going both ways. I mean, a punch is next level, but attributing that to the scrum in front of the goalie is whatever. The kick was open field. Could not have been more an obvious frustration move, since Kessler had just won the ball off of Ferreira. It blows my mind that wasn't even looked at or talked about.
Maybe the MLS needs to start going to a two-ref system or something. There's a lot of misses. Because late on in the match, it, you know, four people didn't end up mattering. Yeah. Well, can we talk about this is a lot more minor, but Ostrock down in the corner trying to waste time, kicked the ball off a Seattle defender. And then we just set the ref that wasn't looking, and the linesman had to go the other way, and they just kept playing. There's just a lot of misses tonight. The ref didn't control the game. Even the linesman's had some mistakes, not really when it comes to any offsides or stuff like that, but just blatant and obvious throws that should go the other way that they just missed.
Refing was bad both sides. We can all agree with that.
Yeah.
Durkin and Horn probably both should have got yellows at some point. I remember some pretty rough tackles.
Durkin one was tough.
The Horn one was much worse. He didn't even play the ball. He just played the man the whole time. And I mean, Roldan definitely sold it, which is why I think he got off on that. But the reffing was poor both sides.
We're going to penalize people for passion now? Is that the state of soccer we're in?
He never had control.
Yeah.
And we were all watching it, and me and Trevor said at about 5 minutes in, you know, ref needs to get control of this game.
Yeah. Early, there was just some questionable calls. And then, you know, then he missed some stuff the next stretch, just trying to make up for it, I guess. And it was no consistency all night, and just a debacle. But we'll get into some of the player breakdowns here. No surprise from all of us, Henry Kessler at an 8. That would be top of everybody on St. Louis and Seattle. Another couple notable good performances. This is from Foot Mob. Hartel, 7-9. Wallen with a 7-7, which is surprising to me because I remember complaining about his play almost the entire match. It probably got annoying for others to hear because I remember shitting on him a couple times. But a 7-7 for Wallen. Lunt, you know, he's not Berkey, but a 7-6, a solid performance. Only had to make one save. He did okay working it out the back, but we definitely miss Berkey back there. But Lunt had a good performance.
The only, complaint I had about Lunt was he did not get off the line.
No, he was not. It looked like he lacked confidence.
Yeah, I don't know if that was his direction to kind of sit back and let the defense work it, or if he wasn't confident in getting those balls. But there was one corner they kept sending it back and forth, and he just never left the goal line. It was.
Yeah, Kessler had to head the ball away. I remember what sequence you're talking about. I think Kessler had three header clearances right there in about a 40-second span because Lunt wouldn't come out and get it. And I mean, Kessler was in the 6-yard box, so he needs to come out. He's tall. He needs to come out, use his size, and grab that ball. But I'm chalking it up to he wasn't ready to start all week and some confidence, something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get a text on Friday that you're playing in an MLS game on Saturday night, you're going to be a little nervous.
Oh, yeah.
I do kind of agree with what you said, Trevor, though, about Wallen. I when I saw him on the man of the match form, I was like, I don't even know if he should be included. I feel like I saw multiple times that he just got easily dribbled around or like, you know, a touch past him and they ran right past him. I was kind of surprised. And I saw he got like a 7-7, I think it was.
Yeah, it was a 7-7. He just didn't look. I don't know. He got dribbled around quite a bit. And then offensively going forward, I felt like he just turned the ball over a lot and really nothing of note. Committed a couple fouls. But I'm guessing the St. Louis City app, when you're voting for man of the match, just does the top four. Because I remember, and I voted for Kessler, but I remember it being Kessler, Hartel, Wallen, and Lunt. Or no, it was Leuven. Who was it? It was Leuven, Wallen, Kessler.
Kessler, Lunt.
Yeah.
Could have been Kessler, got robbed.
And I voted for Kessler, and as soon as I voted, it said like 53% on Leuven already. I was just like, you know, Leuven had a great free kick, and Leuven with the 7-5, but he ended up getting man of the match. First goal for Leuven this season, and I saw an interesting stat. With the goal last night, he has recorded 30 goal contributions. That's 12 goals, 18 assists, and only 56 regular season games for St. Louis, and that's including that terrible season last year where nobody could get anything going. St. Louis is 19-3-3 all time when Leuven is scoring or assisting in a regular season match. So, I mean, even though it's a whole different team, it still seems like, you know, the offense runs through Leuven. The whole team runs through Leuven. And it's nice now having an anchor in the back with Kessler, who got his 100th career MLS start last night. And then you have Leuven in the middle to anchor. And then hopefully up top, you know, somebody emerges, whether it be Klaus, Toy Shirt, or Betcher, because Hartel is doing a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to creating chances down the field.
Piggybacking on what you said about Leuven and how everything runs through him, I don't know if I'm just more of a Klaus hater. I really think he's been good in times this season without scoring, obviously, but I feel like Leuven is what people like. Klaus is on such a pedestal with the fans, and you know, he's a fan favorite, everybody loves him. I feel like Leuven is really the, besides Berkey, the engine that kind of runs this team.
That's why I can be so frustrated when you see Leuven not involved in a game. I'm thinking of San Diego, and I'm even thinking in like Colorado. He just didn't seem to be involved in those matches, and you know, as 0-0 draws for both of them, maybe that's part of the reason, is he just didn't seem involved. He was too far back. Having Durkin back there, like we said a couple times last episode, having Durkin back there allows Leuven to really get forward and start some of these chances. It's interesting because I like when Leuven gets forward, but Hartel, like I said, has been doing a lot of the lifting up there. But we just need, you know, a couple games here with a little bit more possession, let Leuven get up. Leuven again subbed off. What was that, about the 70th minute? For
I think it was like 62nd. I think it was like right around the hour mark.
I can pull it up here.
It was the first group of subs.
Yeah, he Morales once again stepping into that Leuven role, though. I think looked pretty good. A 6'5". You were correct, Cole. 62nd minute for Leuven.
Is there? I know that we don't want to focus on the negatives, but was there anybody that you guys like? I mean, I guess mine would have been Wallum. Was there anybody that you thought like didn't play as well as people were saying, or that their rating showed?
I think
Toy Shirt. I feel like it was kind of Toy Shirt for sure.
Toy Shirt and his rating shows a 6'3", lowest on St. Louis City of the starters. He was not involved. He didn't have any chances as that lone striker up there. And I definitely think he could have created more. Because when you saw Betcher come in the 62nd, he, you know, was a spark plug. He really created some chances and just overall got on the end of some of those long balls, wasted time in the corner. He just looked more comfortable up there than Toyshirt. Toyshirt was kind of, it looks like he was walking on eggshells. I don't know. He just didn't seem super comfortable in the game. And you could see the frustration when he got subbed off. You know, he threw a water bottle. He was pissed. I think he was just frustrated with what was going on. And I don't know if it's a frustration with himself, formation, the rest of the team getting him the ball. No clue, because he was not at the post-match presser. But Toyshirt definitely stuck out to me as definitely one of the dark spots on the of the game.
I'm so worried about that left side of the defense. Horn and Wallum haven't done nothing to impress me these first few weeks. I really would like him to start playing around with that left side, especially that left center back role. See Baumgartel or Nielsen there. Horn needs to wake up before he loses his spot.
Hebert is so malleable. I think you could even put Hebert where Horn is, and then maybe put Yarrow, because we've only really seen Yarrow on the right side. I'm sure he could play that left, but you're not going to move Kessler, and if you don't want, I don't know who else you'd put there besides moving Hebert across and putting Yarrow over there if you don't want to start Baumgartel, because there's for some reason Baumgartel's still not getting minutes. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're seeing something in training, if he's still trying to get back to form, but you could always slide Hebert over there, and I think, you know, I think I'd be more comfortable with a Wallum Hebert left side and then a Yarrow Totlin right side than just how it has been with Wallum and Horn over there.
And I remember like that first season and a little bit of last year too, Hebert out wide as like the left back, it looked a little sketchy, but if he could get that left center back, I think that's a perfect spot for him. And I think if you could put Nielsen on the right, I don't know, like you said, Trevor, Hebert could play on the right, I think, and be just fine. But if we could get like a Hebert, Kessler, Nielsen, left to right with the wingbacks, I think that would be the ideal setup, at least for me right now.
Any formation, you could stick Kyle Hebert in, and he's going to succeed this year. I can feel it. I'd have to agree, though. That left side's really striking me. And honestly, Totten hasn't played that well since Colorado. He's been kind of MIA.
I was going to say, I wonder if that's that hamstring that's been bothering him the last couple of games, and he's just not 100%.
I hope it's something like that. I hope it doesn't have to do with the role they're trying to play him in. So even though I don't hope he's hurt, I hope he's having a little hamstring tightness or something that's causing him to be a little less effective, because that Colorado game, he just, you know, came out of the gates running, and he looked fantastic, and I just really haven't seen that.
I honestly think Hebert could play all five positions of that back line, and, you know, he's just progressed so well. You know, he was kind of someone we worried about a little bit.
You're slowly morphing everybody.
Yeah, but
team of the him season, and Kessler Kyle both. Hebert.
I mean, when you don't give up a goal, and Hebert was on an island a couple times with some of their players, and he either. You know, won the ball, won the tackle, had it out for a throw, or made him turn back. And they do a really good job is when one of those skilled wingers, and this is for almost all four games they played, when one of those skilled wingers go down towards the corner, towards the attacking corner, St. Louis City has been doing a really good job of getting one, if not two, defenders out there. I remember there's a couple times, you know, Totlin was left on an island and Hebert came out. Then as a 2-on-1, they had to go back with it. And that's showing some of why the possession's so high for the other team, but why they can't get these chances is we do a really good job of getting a defender or two on the ball, making them turn back, and then you're not, you know, they're not coming at you on a break or anything like that. So Hebert's played great. Totlin's, we just know we can expect more. It's not like he's played bad, but we've seen him play really, really well. And hopefully we can get some more out of them in the future. But, I mean, not giving up a goal in four games to start the season. That we can't talk.
It's crazy.
It's insane. And hopefully it continues, because I know next week we have Philly. You know, it's going to be a revenge game for old Carnell there. Right now they are down 2-1 against Nashville, as Philly hasn't lost a game yet. But we'll see.
Did we already go over like our score predictions? Do we want to go back and check on the points and everything?
I was going to get to that. Yeah, we can get to that right now though. Cole predicted a 1-1 City draw. Who would have guessed?
Before we get into all of that, you guys text me after like the game finished 5-4. I mean, if they would have gave that pin, I would have been correct. You guys were giving me
you
shit.
Just didn't want, like, it was didn't one
run stops that penalty 10 out of 10 times. Ball don't lie.
They didn't deserve the pin. What do you mean? If yeah, they would
it was
have
a
been.
Handball.
Next time saying, you guys acted like I was way off. I mean,
basically what Cole said is, I guess 1-1, it finished 1-0. If Seattle had scored, I would have been right.
Well, if Hartel had scored the sitter, he missed. If Hartel had scored the sitter, he missed, I'd been right. 2-0.
There you go.
Just out of curiosity, was anybody correct?
Scored the sitters, they both missed. I would have been right 3-0.
No one was correct.
Nobody was correct in their score predictions. Cole 1-1, City, Mike 2-0, Jack 3-0. And I had a 2-1. Man of the match predictions, Cole. This is where he did get his point and the lone point.
I got a question for this. I think we should iron this out right here.
Yeah. Here now.
The fan voted man of the match or the FOTMA ranking man of the match? I think Kessler deserved man of the match over Leuven. I think Leuven got it because he scored the goal.
We could do a point for each. I mean,
no, shit. I think we should do 1 point for one.
I think it should be the foot mob one personally.
I think it should be the city one because when the app, you know, you open the app and it'll say who is your man of the match, and then that's who they announce in the stadium man of the match. I mean, NHL does like the three stars, and it's not based.
We're
on
all sitting here saying
ratings.
We're all saying Kessler should have got it. Is all I'm saying.
But they announced it was Leuven, and when it goes down like. In the stadium, they announced Leuven, so I think we should go off what city.
So if I get my bot army to vote Ben Lunt these next 4 weeks, it's going to be Ben Lunt?
Yeah, so I'm going to be predicting Lunt every week if that's the case.
Can you get those bot armies to, like, listen to our show and maybe drive up some viewership?
No,
we'll stop there. We've got the Brazilian market covered. We need the American market now.
We're really digging into the numbers, and we had, what, two? And there's no way that this is accurate. There's no way people in Brazil somehow stumbled
upon.
We're
huge in Brazil. What are you talking about?
We'll be down there for a live show next week.
Got to start learning Portuguese.
Mike predicted 2-0, Jack 3-0. I had 2-1. And then for man of the match predictions, Cole was the only one who got it right. He predicted Leuven. Mike predicted Klaus, who didn't see a minute. Jack predicted Kessler, who probably should have got it when you look at
the
statistics.
The real man. Trevor predicted
energy.
Trevor predicted Berkey.
And how many minutes
his hand.
How many minutes did Berkey play?
Who, of course, broke his hand on Friday.
Berkey wasn't even in the arena.
I think I should have gotten a redo, and I should have been able, before the game started, to pick someone else, but whatever. In our goal scoring predictions,
expect people to randomly break their hand in training the day before the game.
Well, I should have been there.
Goal scorer predictions. Cole predicted Toy Shirt like an idiot. Uh-huh. Mike predicted Klaus, who didn't play a minute. Jack predicted Hartel, who should have scored a goal. And then Trevor predicted Toy Shirt, who should have had one, but probably didn't touch the ball the whole game, just like against San Diego.
Five touches.
Only touches. He just couldn't hold on to it.
Richard had 17 touches, but only one in the opposition box.
As a striker.
See, and
that's pretty low. Gotta score this.
That's another reason that I wasn't sure if we should use like the foot mob ratings, because I look at Toy Shirt's touches there and it said like 17 or something. And then I looked at the City website, like just looked at the match log, and it said like 5.
I would go off foot mob. Next week we can decide later, you know.
I would go with foot mob. The City also said they had 80.89 goals, and it was actually 0.72 on foot mob. That's for Seattle. So there's definitely differing formulas here, and I I couldn't tell you which one's more correct. We've been going with Foot Mob. That's probably who I'd stick with. But we can discuss that this week. So the point table as it stands, 1 point for a goal prediction, 1 point for a score prediction correct, 1 point for a man of the match prediction correct. Jack tied with Cole in the lead at 2 points, Mike with one, and Trevor has the same number of goals that have been allowed by City this year. So I won't say that number, but it's pretty good.
And I know that we've said this every time, but we either have to do a punishment or a prize. I know Jack wants his signed Kyle Hebert jersey that we'll have to get custom made. But I don't know if we want to lock in, like, the winner gets a jersey, or we could maybe do like a gift card.
Jersey.
Yeah. Maybe a gift card to the pro shop or something. I don't know.
$5 gift card to the pro shop. Get yourself a pin.
$5. Yeah.
We'll figure it out. It'll be something funny. I'm also in favor of the loser dead last getting a punishment. Stand out on the corner of Olive and 270 with a sign that says you're an idiot and don't know soccer. I don't know ball.
On 270?
Like... No, the corner of Olive and 270. Where all the...
Right in the middle.
Just
right under the partition. Bridge over there?
Yeah. No, on the overpass, not on 270. That's dangerous. With these Illinois drivers on the road? No, thank you. A couple of cool stats here I'll also point out before we wrap it up. I already said earlier, Kessler had his 100th career MLS start. Morales, 100th MLS appearance when he entered the match as a sub. And then, of course, Ostrock and Nielsen's first appearance this year. So a couple cool milestones for them as we keep chugging on this season. Next match against Philly, at Philly. That's a 6:30 start time. Should be a good match. You guys have any... Go ahead, Cole.
Sorry, Trevor. I had one other stat that you included in our notes was kind of interesting, that Leuven was the first player he scored the first home goal in 2023, and then he also did this year. I can't remember who did last year, but I mean, Leuven,
I remember,
23 and 25, not bad.
Yeah, I remember wasn't the inaugural season, it was Tim Parker was our first goal, wasn't it, in Austin?
Yeah.
First home goal. Okay.
I think in the playoffs or the Open Cup, one of those.
Yes.
Two.
Yeah, Parker had both. Yeah,
he had the playoff goal. I don't remember about the Open Cup, but I remember he had that playoff goal against SKC.
KC.
Can someone look up real quick? Did Sporting win their match last week or yesterday?
They
were down three. Yeah, they were down 3-0 and then tied it.
It does suck. They're coming up on the schedule. It's at Sporting Kansas City.
We need to go to that game.
The one in, when is it? What's the actual date?
Let me look. I thought it was like April 10th or something. I could be wrong. I think Lexi's going to be out of town.
Saturday, April 5th.
I was begging for a road trip to Furniture Outlet.
Oh, the Nebraska Furniture Outlet out there by the stadium.
Yeah. First home goal scorer last year, by the way, was Big Sam Adeniran.
Oh yikes. Who we'll see next week? Or is he out of the league?
He's in Austria.
I thought he was in Europe. Didn't you make that same? Didn't you say that last week? That is not in the MLS.
Did you do that?
Yes, you are. Jerk. Anybody have anything else before we sign off and look toward the Philly Union game?
No, I'm just liking the 0 goals per game we're giving up. We'll get some Kyle Hebert team of the season talk here coming up, and everything's going great.
Did we say that City they're the third team to start 4 straight without conceding? I think it was the Red Bulls in 07 and then Vancouver in like 2012, 2013. So
they say the record on that.
I was going to say, has anybody got to 5 yet on games without conceding?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to do some dives into the analytics.
But next game, 6:30 at Subaru Park in Philly. St. Louis City is right now third in the West, right behind Vancouver, who started 4-0 with a plus seven goal differential. So Vancouver also coming up on the schedule. They've been playing really good. Brian White's been having another great season to start. We're also right behind San Diego, who's also 2-2 at 2-2-0. But they got us on total goals scored, as both of our goal differentials are plus four. Philly, top of the East. They're 3-0-1 right now. They are down 1-2 to Nashville. That is at halftime. So we'll see how that ends up going. But Philly up there at the top of the East, it'll be a good test for the boys. It'll finally probably be a test for Lunt, as Philly's just firing on all cylinders. Our next episode will be dropping. That'll be the Philly game preview. That'll be that'll be Friday morning. That episode will be dropping. So we'll catch you then, and have a good week. Go City.